You know what our main problem is in life today? Everybody's main problem, Dad?
Well, I don't know. People have a lot of problems.
I'll tell you. It all boils down to this.
Okay.
We just don't love ourselves enough. We need more self-love in this world.
Now, I guarantee you there's people listening that are thinking, yeah.
But there's some who are cringing, and the ones who are cringing, you are correct.
Yeah, that's so unbiblical. In fact, the whole concept is so wrong.
And Paul tells us exactly that right away here in 2 Timothy chapter 3.
You're listening Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And we're going to get right in. I'll start verse 1. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times for people.
Why are they going to be difficult times?
For people will love only themselves and their money.
Yep.
You know, the thing is, this is where sometimes I'm not crazy about the NLT, that they take a few leaps, because it doesn't say only themselves.
Yeah. It just says they will love themselves.
Yeah, they
lovers
will love
of self.
Themselves. And, yeah. And here's the thing, that whole concept of needing to love yourself, you have to know that that came from a very, very anti-God form of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the foundations of Freudianism and B.F. Skinner, some of the early founders of secular psychology, and not that that Christianity can't learn some things that come out of this, but at its core, so much of this was very anti-God. I mean, Sigmund Freud was very anti-God,
mm-hmm.
and all of his teaching was very anti-God. And yet there are a lot of Christians that have simply adopted some of these things that have flown out of a secular view of the world and human relationships, and they just say these things like they sound good. Now, I've heard people say, well, Jesus said you're supposed to love yourself because he said you're supposed to love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. You love your neighbor as much as yourself. Well, no, that isn't why. Yeah, right. Jesus counted them. He counted those.
That's terrible hermeneutics, which is, we say, the interpretation of Scripture. If you ever hear a pastor say that, I don't know if I'd trust their hermeneutics, because that's not what Scripture is saying. Scripture is assuming that you love yourself because you do.
The problem is we love ourselves too much.
Yeah, that's the problem in our world, is we love ourselves too much.
I've often said this, that when we, you know, if the problem was self-hatred, people say, well, you know, I hate myself, that's my problem. And if that were true, then we would look in the mirror and say, hey, I'm glad you're ugly because I hate myself.
Yeah, I'm glad you're unhappy.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not happy because I hate myself.
I'm glad I'm not getting my way.
The problem is, when we say I don't love myself, what we're saying is I don't appreciate the way God made me.
Yeah.
It's really a lack of gratitude. It's a lack of appreciation for the way God created us.
Yeah.
When we say I don't love myself, we're saying I don't like the way I look, or I don't like my talents, or I wish I had other people's talents. It's really, there are some other core issues at play here that should be addressed.
Yeah.
So anyway,
well, yeah, we're spending a lot of time on this, but this is a big discussion.
It is
today.
A big deal.
It's creeping into the church, and you and I are passionate about it, because a lot of people end up spiraling their lives because they just get sucked into
it. I see so many memes shared by Christians on social media that talk about self-love.
Yeah.
And take a really good look at this. If you're struggling with it and you want to challenge me, go ahead. Send me an email. I'd be happy to sit down and
Jesus
talk.
Said, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, that's the problem. He says, verse 2, people will love themselves and they will love their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. Oh, are we a society today that loves pleasure? We're so addicted to pleasure because we're so used to it.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to come by today, you know, that you can get instant gratification so easily that the concept of disciplining and denying self is almost foreign in our Western world.
And we actually spiral when we give into that pleasure. I was talking to some guys who had said, you know, I struggle the most when I'm on vacation, you know, with sin. It brought up, well, maybe it's because you're just so used to saying yes to the flesh and when you're on vacation. Sleep in, do whatever you feel, and then you spiral.
Now here, verse 5, I think, is a key on this, especially when we're talking about not just loving pleasure, but even going back to that self-love thing when people try to baptize it and try to Christianize it. Verse 5, they will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And what's that power? That power comes from a denial of self and instead being filled with God's Spirit rather than filled with ourselves. That's where the power comes from. So they deny the power, but they're acting religious. And he says, stay away from people like that. Verse 5, stay away from people like that. Verse 6, they are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teaching, but they are never able to understand the truth. Why don't you pick it up in verse 18?
These teachers oppose the truth just as, I get the names.
I think it's Janus and Jambres, but we don't know who these people were.
Yeah, oppose Moses.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, they were.
In Exodus.
Yep.
They have depraved minds and a counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. Someday, everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as Janus and Jambres. But you know, Timothy, certainly know what I teach and how I live and what my purpose in life is. You know my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance. You know how much persecution and suffering I've endured. You know all about how I was persecuted in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, but the Lord rescued me from all of that. Yes, and everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Yeah. Evil people.
And it's hard. That's a tough one. A tough verse. But particularly, he's living in a time when persecution was just so rampant. It was such a reality for all believers. Oh. But the fact is that if we truly are going to make choices to live a godly life, that means that we're going to be set apart and there will be some who will be on opposition.
Yeah. It will deceive others and will themselves be deceived. Now, this next verse is actually tattooed around my friend's wrist.
Mm.
Last time we did this series on 2 Timothy,
yeah.
And he just loved this verse so much.
Oh, that's cool.
In fact, it's Tyler. Many in our church have been praying for him. He almost passed away.
It, right, yeah.
And he was on life support, and he said, when he woke up, he said, Junior, there are so many times I stared at this tattoo on my wrist.
Wow.
It says, you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. In other words, there's other ways to put it. It's like, as for you, hold the line.
Yeah.
You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you.
Oh, that's cool.
You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. I love that. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood. That was his mom and grandma teaching him.
Yeah. That little mind taking in those things that you're saying, you may feel as though that the time that you spend with them is... it could be better utilized doing something else, but it's just not true.
Nope.
That time he spent with his mom and his grandma,
look
what it did.
Look what it did for Ephesus.
Yeah.
All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Man, that monumental scripture, one of my favorites.
Which is why, Dad, at our church, we are big on practical teaching. And we've said that before, but it's what Paul's saying. This scripture is so practical. It teaches us how to obey, to do every good work.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it says it's inspired by God, but then it says it's useful. Yeah. So it's not just to know. Yeah. It's useful. It tells us what's right, what's not right. That's what we have in this passage. How to get it right. And then how to keep it right.
That's right.
So it's all about life. Good preaching is going to be about life.
That's right.
Okay, well, we'll get over to Proverbs. And I think, Proverbs 17, because today is the 17th. Verse 11, a lot of practical verses here. Verse 11 says, evil people seek rebellion, but they will be severely punished. And there's that bumper sticker, says, what is it again? Disobey authority or rebel against authority, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, question
like
authority,
every
question
rock
authority.
Song.
Not that we should never question, but of course, I was a child of the 70s. I grew up, I was born in the 60s, but my music was of the 70s, and it was all about rebellion. Yeah. And, but he says evil people seek rebellion. Instead, what godly people are going to do, that doesn't mean that they never question anybody that's in a position of authority, but what godly people are going to do, they're going to pursue good, godly people to follow. They're going to want to follow others. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right. Yep.
It says then, but they will be severely punished. So rebellion, and parents, you cannot put up with rebellion in your children from the early age. It's not cute when that little 2 or 3 year old's throwing a temper tantrum. That's defiance. You cannot put up with defiance because it's going to hurt them down the road. The loving thing for your children is to teach them to be submissive and to see you as the rightful authority that God's placed in their lives. And for all of us, I know that there's that tendency to want to thumb our nose at the man. But no, God's also put authority in our lives as well and expects us to
submit. It was that attitude that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven.
It is. Yeah.
All right. Well, today is National the Ellis Island Family History Day.
Ah, cool.
Is what it says. I mean, I guess it's not. Yeah, it's national.
Yeah, I found my family. Yeah. Some of my family history in Ellis Island.
Yep.
It'd be my great grandpa. So your great great grandpa.
Yep.
And his brother.
Yep.
They came over.
Gabriel.
Yep, Gabriel. My dad was named after him, Gabriel, yeah. John Gabriel, and his first name was Gabriel.
I think it was their dad that was kicked out of, we don't know why.
Well, he and his brother.
Prussia.
Well,
area.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah. And yeah. We think there might be some Jewish roots there.
Yeah, yeah.
That it was a part of Poland where when the border changed, the Jews were kicked out.
Yeah.
And it was right around that time when he had to leave. Then his son, which was Gabriel, wound up coming to America right before World War One.
And I know you tuned in today just so you could hear the Ziegler family history. You're just so fascinated by it. But there is something to learning family history that humbles you. It's like, yeah. Man, I'm just like one generation among so many.
Right.
And those who have gone before me made a lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
So I do some family history searching today. Have fun with it.
You bet.
Make it a good day.
See you tomorrow.